You're listening to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
Once upon a time, I almost lost my mind.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show, and we're back again on another beautiful Sunday and looking out over the morning range and looking at the poly and all and looking out amongst all my friends out there. And folks, I have more friends than I ever knew I could ever collect. And then I also have some detractors, and justifiably so, because, you know, I boast that we try to look for the truth and give other people the opportunity to defend themselves and what have you. And I want to share with you, I didn't know that a microphone and an interview of an individual could be so threatening. I've gotten emails from Mr. Keith Rollman. As you know, he's Mr. Luffy Hanneman's former something, but seemed to be still peripherally, and I don't know what that is, and we're not going to engage him because he apparently wants some attention, and we're not going to give it to him. But I do want to share with you, I received a number of emails from Mr. Rollman now predicting now, and my goodness, I wish I had this ability to know that I could look at an individual and just look at them and size them up and tell them that in a few days they're going to be met with trouble, loss of credibility, losing radio show, and I tell you, man, it's something. We should hire this man. He shouldn't be at the levels of city government. We need him in that think tank up there called Washington, D.C. Because we need brilliant people like that that can sit and tell them that you're going to lose your credibility all because you have Mr. Eric Ryan on your show. And we have warned you. You've been warned. These are actual emails now. And it's just so happening, by golly, it could be just magic, or it just could be he's a brilliant person, but then all of a sudden there is this website. Not to say that Mr. Roman had anything to do with it, but it just, I have to remind myself that it was this battery of emails that I got warning me that the credibility and the loss of my show and da 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 da. So, this website pops up, and you gotta know it's original, man. It's one of the most original websites and thinking you could ever witness. It was called Eric Ryan is a crook.com. Now, I think there was one originally called Kimberly Pine. Now, Kim Pine is a crook.com. The difference is, Eric Ryan posted that website, and it was talked about and bounced around like an unwanted child. But then pops up this original style of writing and this new technical thinking of Eric Ryan is a crook.com. And then, as if that wasn't good enough, now consistent with the predictions of Mr. Roman, up jumps Carol Cox has lost his credibility. These are people who wouldn't speak to me if I sat on a pew next to them in church. And yet, all of a sudden, they're worried about my credibility. But it's strange that one is warning me before the website goes up, and two, it's consistent with everything that he's written about and talked about, he being Roman, pops up on this website. Contact KWAI, the manager, the owner, if you don't like Carol Cox's way he did things. Now, I've sit and watched this, and I just tell you, if you really, really want to see me and my vinegar flow, act in that vein. You'll see a new me, a me that I don't even know that I have contained in me. And so, it's such a joy to see that, as a friend of mine said, and I'm an protective animals and all, but the metaphor is if you take a shoe and throw it into a pack of dogs, the one that yelps is the one that got hurt or hit. Well, I can only say to you, it is very interesting that a man could predict that I'm going to lose my credibility for having a person on my show. And then in turn, this fallout and these measures come along as we go. Isn't that funny? So, I don't know what to tell you other than it's very strange. And as I began to say, the Eric Ryan posting that he put up, Mr. Ryan put up, he has his name attached. So, what I always say, you put that up there, and if it's a lie about me and it's defamation, I know who to go knock on whose door and who to serve papers to and who to sue. But it's a funny thing, this one that Eric Ryan is a crook.com does not have any name, and it was put out of country. But it's funny, all those people that were attacking Eric in the first place when he posted the website, and I'm not defending his posting, but he attempted to get the word out. When you're back against the wall and the world is trying to convey you or portray you as a certain way, you have a right to do whatever beside killing and stealing. What then goes on with this is they all rallied around, and as I told you, my interest was seeing this. There must have been something that they do not want us to see. Well, anyway, I have the great pleasure of experiencing the wrath of listenership. I tell you, I'm from Mississippi, And I don't want to talk about this old chip on the shoulder. But in you see, in Mississippi, down there in the South, there were a group of people, when they wanted to persuade you into doing or thinking or acting a certain way, they'd smile at you during the day, and they'd work with you and what have you, and call you auntie and auntie and uncle and boy and whatever. Kind of nice. But then at nighttime, they put on these sheets. And then they visit your house, and if your yard was big enough, they put a cross up there and have a barn fire. Well, forget all that. We are some thousands of miles from that, and we're in paradise. So the Ku Klux Klan wears aloha attire now. You see, going on the website, and boy, we warn you now. You've gotten your warning. You better be good. You have that boy on your show again. Now we're going to have to come by and teach you a lesson. And that's exactly you. I've posted these letters on my website at carolcox.com. And I wanted to share them with you. I didn't share my responses to Mr. Roland, but I will be in the next couple day or so. And hoping, and you'll see, I pled with him to, I'm not in this to have a fight with anyone. I want my listeners and our listeners and the public to see what's going on. We get to get an opportunity, or we have an opportunity to look and peer with inside of government. So I invited Mr. Ryan back, and Mr. Ryan is here with me now, Eric Ryan. And again, the joy of this, for those of you that know that he's lying, and you got the evidence, I invite you to take his statements from our radio show, the posting, and run to court with it. Don't tell me it's too expensive, because if it's a sure thing, and you know your horse is going to win, go mortgage a house. I mean, you got a good suit here. Don't tell me that 100 people file complaints. And one last comment. It's rather strange that all of the detractors that did write and that were quoted, John Carroll, Kimberly Pine, Eric Byrd, and others. Now, I'm not going to be personal and attack, but I would offer this. Something is terribly wrong if you folk continue, you know that Eric is a bad person in your words. And as to quote you, you know he's evil. You know he's a devil. He's sleazy. And all of those things you tossed at him. And you, one would get rid of him and hand him over to the next and incorporate him. I mean, I would think at the first level, when the allegations that is being made against him about John Carroll would be enough that he'd be banished. Put on a coconut palm and sent out to sea and never see him again. But no, all of these good people that you circle the wagons around to protect seem to have just found it necessary to rehire and fire and rehire. So, folks, something's wrong. And I want to welcome Eric again today. And we're going to be talking about rail. And Eric was quite involved with Stop Rail, and as many other people, and we're going to talk about that. And you can call in 524-1080 as long as you're civil. You can have the airwaves, but if you're not civil, we just won't put up with it. And we're not trying to adjudicate anything with Mr. Ryan. As I say, and he knows the ground rules here. I'm not here to adjudicate, and I'm not here to prove his innocence or guilt. And you have the opportunity, unlike the claims that others made on that website that Eric Ryan is a crook, that we didn't allow any phone calls to come in at the Carol Cox Show. This is, I mean, they invite you to go listen to the show and then claim that I didn't allow them to receive accept phone calls. Then they say we didn't read questions. But yet, Mr. Roland sent questions and I read it. I wouldn't play his the recording because I hadn't screened it for profanity and what have you, and vulgarities. But other than that, you know, let's be smart about this. I'm not going to insult any of you, and there are the rules and the law. So anyway, Eric, thank you. And I'm going to try and play something here. that I want to set the tone and the pace here. And this is Mr. Berg.
Hey, Eric, I'm going all out. I'm on Facebook. You know, the GOP said, oh, conference call, we're going to do this 4G cold hand stuff at XYZ time tonight, Sunday night. Here's your call-in number. I'm calling him out. Dylan and the gang, Jonah, refused to respond back to me. Rep Ward and the GOP, I'm calling him out. So I'm emailing you and calling you. I want you to participate in this call tonight. Call me. If they didn't email you and give you the password, call me. I want you on the phone. I want you to back me up. I'm going to call up and be a party to this call-in tonight with the GOP, and I'm going to give my 2 cents. I'm livid, Eric. I'm livid. I should have gotten GOP backing that the city council failed us in our pursuit for justice, and all we needed was the GOP to back us up, and we would be in there for 2012, a bullet point for 2012. And these bozos refused to give us this talking bullet point of our flyers. They're not following the program. They're not going step by step, week by week, month by month. All they do is they lump in millions of dollars 2 weeks before the election for this crapola advertising scheme. I'm trying to build up the GOP, and I'm up against Gene Ward and the crap. Yeah? And I'm going to call him out on it. Here was a huge possibility for a victory, and the GOP says, well, we're going to have to coddle Rep. Kim Pine, because Rep. Kim Pine doesn't want to see Tom Berg be successful. Kim Pine, who's a failure, doesn't want to see Tom Berg in 3 months at the council have 76 legislators back over backwards and do what's right. Kim Pine is rather to be coddled by the GOP. I'm going to give him hell, holy hell, crap tonight, Eric. I'm so sorry, but it's been over a day since we've held hands, and I gotta talk to you every day, so I'm gonna chime in. So tune into Facebook and look what's going down. I'll be calm, professional, but I want Dylan and Joan out. I want them out. I don't like the Gene Wards and the Dylan team. I want them out. I don't even like Paul Smith saying I'm against the rail tax, so therefore do what's not right. Let government fleece. Let government act in bad faith, because I don't like the rail. And even if it's the rail tax, man, I'm all for it. Paul Smith is off the base, off the mark, off Kapakahi, my friend. Gosh, dang it. You and I are going to have to take over this party. I'm game. Tune in.
Okay, that was one recorded message left on Mr. Ryan's personal recorded voicemail at his residence from Mr. Tom Berg. And I'm sharing this with you because I believe, just in the back of my mind now, I don't need any convincing, that maybe this is why that was an onslaught and this orchestrated media attempt to hide and conceal and protect one and destroy the other. But hold on to your coffee cup. And, you know, if it's good, it's good. If it's bad, throw rocks at them. This, again, Tom Berg.
20 after 5, stuck in traffic, wicked, trying to get out to Wai'anae High School. Mike Buck says, and Councilman Tom Berg and his crew are going to KL Beach Park to do a cleanup. And he's talking about the homeless, and he gives us this major plug. So that means you must have done a press release, man. Good job. We got good plug on the radio on Mike Buck. Thanks.
Eric, call me as soon as possible. I have decided to go out on a limb. I've decided to stand up for the 2012 election to get both Democrats and Republicans alike to stand up to the GOP, Dylan Onakas, and skinheads alike. I have gone out on a limb on Facebook and directly on my Yahoo account to Dylan Onakas, who has finally said, Tom Berg, you're ranting. Tom Berg, you're the problem. Tom Berg, it's okay that the state withholds the rail surcharge. And I'm calling him out on it. I'm literally calling him out. He says, if you think it's such an important shindig, why don't you have the city pass a law so that it can collect the tax? I said, Dylan, in response, hello, you need to go back to 8th grade civics. The city cannot amend state statute, dude. If you would like to have the city collect the tax, as would I, it requires the state legislature to take and enact legislation.
Gene Ward is playing the game and supports the fleecing. I'm calling out Rep Ward big time. I'm going out on a limb big time. I have just severed today all relationship with the GOP. And I wanted to inform you ASAP that I stand tall and strong in support of my severing of my relationship with the GOP. I think the GOP is a failure here in Hawaii. And rather not be attached and rather support all those who have gone by the wayside and said, I do am no longer going to support the GOP and looking for a new beginning. I am that new beginning. This message will self-destruct in 10 seconds. Eric, Tom Berg here. I'm not calling the GOP tonight unless you can back me up and record it. I'm not going to chime in. I'm pestering you. I'll be at a Sunday family evening, and you're covered in worm doo-doo and want to relax. I apologize for getting under your skin, and just wanted to let you know that I'll be calm and collected, but I'm doing things on purpose. I'm actually throwing stones and poison darts on purpose and going over the edge because that's the only way I could get Dylan to respond. I sent 3 or 4 or 5, 6, 7 emails on this whole real surcharge. Never heard a peep. And then when I chimed in like, oh, I'll be calling tonight and I'll be exposing you, Dylan. Then he finally chimes back, oh, you're a ranter. You're ranting, Berg. You, the city, could just merely ask to have and collect the tax. Lie, lie, lie. I can't have a resolution or a bill at the city level that says, we, the city, are going to now collect the rail surcharge. Sorry, Dylan, you ignoramus boob. Yeah? It's all within the domain and jurisdiction of the state legislature to enact the possibility of amending Act 247. That's the law. So I'm livid, ready to roll, ready to take them on. Your call, waiting for your call. Set this up. Here's the stage. Extrapolate. Like I said, I'm doing this to set that very stage. I want to do everything in my power to separate me in the 2012 election that we're going to have somewhere down the line a Tom Berg tearing up his GOP card as a piece. So, like, let's say January 2012, we have legislation asking the state let the city collect the tax, all that stuff. And then when they say no then because they like the tax, then they're going to play playground bullying antics and retaliate and go, well, you know, now we're going to raise your TAT and stop your awards and grants and revenue stream, and we're going to ding you for doing what's just and right. We're going to now retaliate against you. That's when my GOP card. And that's where down the road we're, and that's what I'm doing right now. I'm setting the stage to wean myself from this party and the skinheads. So I give you every green light possible, Eric, to send out those emails and let everybody know just exactly how the Gene Wards of the world are a bunch of cop-outs.
Well,
woo.
Thank you, Eric, and I don't want to rub people's noses in it, but I will offer this challenge for all of them out there. Take the wagons, don't circle them now. Let us see. This is a lawmaker behaving in this fashion. But they all gathered around and cited him and went and took pictures of him signing yours.
Sure.
And we got other things to speak to that in recordings. But again, I want to make sure that all of you understand, I am not defending Eric Ryan, and I'm not going to sit here and state my case any longer in that aspect. I believe if I can get an insight, and that was the whole intent behind contacting Eric, and it was up front, this seems to be a circling of the wagons amongst a great number of people, and they're not asking the other side the questions and the whys and the whats and the whens. So, again, now we're going to move into the talking about the rail, and we'll be
here.
Mind
if I say something about that real quick, Carol? Because I think
this is Eric Ryan, now,
yeah.
Not Tom Berg.
Yeah,
okay,
Eric,
make sure.
Yes. So aim your long-range rifles accordingly. I'm sitting here on the left. Eric Ryan, thank you very much, Carol, for having me on, and I'd like to give it a little context to the tapes that you just played. These are just from relative matter of days, weeks ago. I was summarily fired without any warning 2 weeks ago, and it's starting to come out now why that happened and what was being covered up. But what these tapes illustrate is the old adage, there's more there than meets the eye. So if your listeners see photographs, for instance, or video of politicians standing there with their arms around each other, shaking hands, looking like they're all in unity, the reality is that behind the scenes of smiling politicians patting each other on the back and giving each other accolades, the reality is that behind the scenes, this is what's going on. The battles over Manini things and huge things alike are always ongoing, but once you can fake sincerity, you've got it made. You know, the smiles, the attaboys, the pats on the back. And the same scrutiny you really want to apply when you read headlines and news stories. If you read a headline like, so-and-so has been fired because they're a really bad person. I don't mean to make this a selfish point about me, or it could be another point about so-and-so deserves all the credit in the world for passing that bill or something. Any savvy person knows there's much more to the story than that. Behind the scenes of any scandal or any brilliant political move or just day-to-day business at City Hall, the state legislature, the nation's capital, this kind of crazy soap opera stuff is going on all the time. Now, I can explain the details of what Tom was ranting about. There were about 20 or 30 different things there, and that's actually what life was like on a daily basis. Working with Tom was... I don't know. I'm not a doctor, so to use the words attention deficit disorder, I'm not really in a position to describe it. But at any given time, there were so many moving parts and so much hatred and so much bitterness and so many demons that need to be exercised. It was hard enough keeping a focus on what we needed to do for our constituents at City Hall when there was someone always there trying to, you know, push a political angle to everything, as opposed to, you know, let's just fix the potholes, let's try and make traffic flow smoother, let's give the police the tools they need. Instead it was, you know, how can we politicize virtually everything? And, you know, when you think, to those who might know who Eric Ryan is, you think political consultant kind of guy, advertising guy, probably all he cares about is politics, and that's not true. I really thought that we were supposed to be down there every single day and in the evenings and weekends working to do what we were sent there to do. You know, we just won the election over some really well-funded people. And we really needed to prove a lot. But we're constantly getting pulled in different directions by Tom to do these political things and constantly being pushed to do self-promotion for Tom, constantly doing videos of him here and there, doing this and that, and flyers and website and newsletters, just pure self-promotion that didn't actually amount to anything. And, you know, that's his prerogative to use taxpayer resources, I guess. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer and I'm not a prosecutor, but that's how he chose to basically do things. It was all about image when people were looking and all the stuff we were putting out, but behind the scenes it was just go for the jugular raw politics. And and it's obvious that he does not have very, very high regard for his mentor, political ally and friend, Kim Pine. That's his real feelings. But when convenience, when you need that, in that moment of crisis, to look like you're unified, and that's why I'm warning, when you see politicians patting each other on the back, whether they're same side of the aisle or opposite parties, be suspicious. Mm-hmm. Behind the smile lurks the truth.
Good morning, caller. Comment or question?
Yes, Mr. Cox. I don't personally know Mr. Eric Ryan, but I morally support him. My only exposure to him has been on your today on your show, and then last week, and previously to that, when he was vilified on another radio show, allegations were made against him. But these allegations, they never stated any facts or documentation. They were just kind of like hearsay things, you know. And it's what you said earlier, that people like John Carroll, Tom Berg, Kimberly Pine, they all hired him. They passed him down. I don't know if they only use the word passed down because that sounds, you know, dismissive. But he's very, from what I'm listening to him, he's highly intelligent. He, you know, he knows what he's doing. He works for these people. He did probably excellent work on. They always stop short of, you know, saying that they're going to take him to court. They're going to do this or that. And they just keep making these allegations without any documentation or any kind of foundation. And that's what leads me to believe that this man is basically telling the truth. I know, and I think other people should understand that he's highly intelligent. Again, I don't have a horse in this race. I don't even know the gentleman. But like I said, listening to him and listening to what he's saying, I think he probably knows a lot about these people that they don't want out. And I don't want to just go on infinitum, but I just basically want to say that he at least has one supporter morally in his camp. I'm pretty sure there are quite a few other people, too, that believe in him that just won't speak out for maybe various reasons. But basically, that's all I want to say. And thanks a lot for giving Mr. Ryan a venue to express his not just his views, his documentation, his facts that he has. And I've gone to his website, and then I went to this other website, Eric Pine is the quotes.com. And why all of a sudden are these people, whoever they are, I don't know who they are, that's why I use the word they, why all of a sudden are they trying to vilify him without any facts and documentation? But on the other hand, he does have these things. So basically, that's all I wanted to say. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, caller. Well, again, the original issues were you were hacking that the allegations made by Ms. Pine.
That's right.
And you were hacking.
Yes.
It wasn't that you were contesting the claims of Mr. John Carroll. That is water under the bridge, so yeah, to speak. And Mr. Carroll is a lawyer.
Yes, he is.
See, that's the funny part of this.
Yeah.
John Carroll is a lawyer. He's not a dumb man. And he knows how to approach the judge's courtroom.
Right.
He knows it. He's been there, and he's a very good person. But to allow past activities to be incorporated into the claims between you and Ms. Pine, and that again is something I don't want to sit here and debate that case. She refused to come on, but as I say, I've talked to her, and there's many contraventions, or she seems not consistent. But I did speak as a follow up to the information regarding her city council run, and as you can see, apparently Tom Berg feels that she was being prepped or propped up or at his expense. Who knows? I don't know what goes on in their mind. But again, we had issues like the rail.
Yes.
Very serious. Taxpayers out there, we, quote, were told we voted for it, but
yes,
speak to that. What, when they say we were voting for it and we voted for it, what percentage did vote? And we're not going to rehash, but
oh, sure,
give us an insight on the rail. We've seen them trying to railroad you. So
okay,
let's talk
yeah
about the rail now. Let's move on.
Well, rail was soundly beaten back in the mid-90s. One of the reasons that Councilwoman Reen Mancho, former councilwoman, became really famous is she cast the deciding vote back in 92 to vote to kill the rail project. And that is the closest the rail ever came to reality until the 2000s. 2005, folks at the state legislature who work alongside Kim Pine decided to vote to increase the GET. Well, they just actually voted to authorize the increasing of it, and then it got kicked over to the Honolulu City Council, where Mufi, as mayor, was pushing like crazy. We need this money. We got to fund the rail. You know, we got to have this secure form of income that's dedicated to the rail. So What's interesting, and I'll get to the vote in a sec, is just that originally Mufti and all his allies were saying we need a 1% increase in the GET, not from 4% to 4.5% like it is now, but we need to go from 4 to 5, or we're never going to be able to afford it. Then those were their estimates back before cost inflation, you know, has increased the cost of this project dramatically. But the taxpayers of Oahu still have not found out the true cost of this project to them. It changes constantly, and they haven't even put anything in the ground yet. Construction hasn't begun. For anyone out there who thinks it's begun, let me disabuse you of that notion. There has not been a bit of work at all. Right now in Waipahu, on Farrington Highway, next to Susie's Adult Warehouse, I think, they're doing in the median some pre-engineering, testing how to put in columns, but nothing's happened yet. So since 2008, when the big vote took place, the vote to approve rail, 3 years later, there's still no actual construction that's happened yet. I can explain all the delays. I can explain how basically people were sold a bill of goods. But in 2008, the city spent your money, your taxpayer money, to spread propaganda that it, I don't know if we have the commercial here that the city was paying to put on every radio station for months in 2008, which specifically said rail will reduce traffic congestion. They said, in fact, rail, of all the options being considered, is the only thing that can reduce traffic congestion. And when a slight majority of people, after all the millions spent by pro-rail groups and the city and the lobbyists, spend all this money, they got only a 2% majority for rail. Subsequently, we've learned, and we found this out at City Hall before I was fired, that actually traffic's going to be 60% worse. 60% worse with rail. So those of you who are driving on H1, like most people who voted for rail, who think that traffic's going to be less with rail, it's actually going to be 60% worse. The city knows that. That's all, because only 1 out of 100 of you is going to get out of your car, maybe, and ride the bus and rail instead of staying in your car. So there is a rude awakening coming. Is there anything you can do to stop it? Maybe we can talk about that later. But I understand you've got a special caller.
Mr. Berg, Councilman Tom Berg is calling, and he wants to speak to the recordings that were played. He wanted to address the history of the background of them. Good morning, Councilman Berg.
Good morning. Interesting to hear in confidence private privileged recordings being disseminated on the airwaves. So I thought I would just chime in and give a little bit of a background on the recordings on the subject matter. What was in play, what wasn't mentioned, was I've been fighting for 5 years. The state's been collecting a GET rail surcharge of a surplus of a 10% cut. I've been fighting that from day one since they've been collecting the tax. And I made some phone calls in regards to I couldn't get help from the GOP to take a stand because they had provided a budget. The GOP, Gene Ward, as the minority leader, wasn't concurring with me to provide a budget that would not take, it roughly adds up to about $16 million a year. And I was fighting for that $16 million a year to go back into the fund of which it was designed, which was for the rail. And I had tried to let Eric know that Kim Pine was in a position to assist, and I was just frustrated with her, frustrated with Rep Ward, frustrated with Dylan and the GOP. And again, you know, not the most professional choice of words, but again, these are just emotions of a private, privileged phone call of which was disseminating my fighting for the people and the taxpayer. And now it's being twisted by Mr. Ryan, which was in confidence, and that's what he does for a living. So with that said, I'm very relieved that he's no longer on the staff for the following reason. There's no cover-up. There hasn't been a cover-up. And when I talk in such a fashion on recorded phone calls, unbeknownst to me, that will be played over the airwaves, I'm sure many of your listeners do not think when they leave a message with someone that that person will then use those messages on the airwaves for their own benefit.
Well, the reality is really only in modern age an ignoramus would think they'd have an expectation of privacy of leaving a message on an answering machine that anyone in a household can hear. But if there's no cover-up, Councilman Berg, why is it that you decided to intimidate your staff by virtue of firing Celeste LaCuesta for not doing your bidding as a puppet, as an independently elected member of a neighborhood board? You fired her and warned your other staff members, you've got several that are on neighborhood boards, and told them, you too shall be fired unless you get with my program. Forget the fact that you're independently elected. You're going to do my bidding and do my agenda. And then, that completely violates the city charter, several ordinances. And I think the average person wonders, why would you treat your employees so poorly and your own constituents and their independent constituents so poorly that you would be willing to not only break the law but force them to break the laws against conflict of interest? I mean, it's just stunning. And that's just the beginning of the cover-up. You've got people sleeping at their desks who have no skill sets to do what I do, so they're not working late doing my job. They're just sleeping at their desks. They're creating all kinds of pandemonium behind the scenes, and you're looking the other way. And then you get so upset about this horrible HR situation in your office brewing and then being reported to you, you wait a whole month to say, guess what, Celeste, I'm firing you for actually listening to your constituents at the neighborhood board instead of listening to me, your boss, who has no right to tell you what to do. Oh, and by the way, and Eric, I'm firing you because a month ago you had the nerve to tell me that my staffer was sleeping every day at his desk like a typical, stereotypical government employee cliche, and that he was walking around half naked, and then he was going around City Hall yelling at people from security guards to department directors to chiefs of staff for Nesta Garcia. I mean, what do you mean there's no cover-up? It sounds like you're up to your eyeballs in cover-up.
Would you like a response?
That's why the pause appeared after my words.
Are you done?
I don't think we'll ever be done because there's so much. Why don't you go ahead?
First of all, Celeste LaCuesta was never terminated, was not fired, never asked to turn in her keys. Locks weren't changed. Passwords weren't changed.
But you fired her.
That's not true.
You wrote her a letter saying you fired her.
Well, if you'd like to talk to Celeste LaCuesta, she went to work the day that you claimed she was fired, and she wasn't terminated. Now, let's move on.
Can't really move on. You fired her.
That's not true.
Councilman Berg.
You reversed course. That doesn't mean you weren't fired.
Councilman Berg, are you denying that you did not write an email where you state Celeste is fired, and then you also stated in that same email that Eric was fired? Are you denying that? I mean, just yes or no?
The email is valid.
Okay.
The answer is yes, but the subject matter is if you think you have a heightened situation of which is issues surrounding trying to protect data, trying to protect the subject matter of confidentiality of an office. Celeste LaCuesta, according to Mr. Ryan, I believe when Mr. Ryan was indeed terminated, the association with another employee, being Celeste, that for him to think she was fired had provided information of which I understand could be under litigation that I don't need to disclose now.
Right.
But it turns out we have now a disgruntled employee who has fabricated some statements of which is a party to him thinking Celeste LaCuesta was fired.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to stop on that because that's litigation going. And I didn't call this radio program to talk about Celeste LaCuesta because she was never terminated.
Well,
she'll tell you that. I'll tell you that.
We understand that, Councilman Berg. And again, I don't want to be disrespectful or sound disrespectful to you. You are a councilman. You are a human being. But I don't want the opportunity to be squandered and where you represent that she wasn't fired. It states in that email, and I'm not going to take issue with you, I have said on the show last week, if half of our politicians had the fire in their bellies that you have, I think everybody need to be in some areas polished. You got my vote just on your tenacity. But again, the email spells it out, and there are greater legal issues because she's an elected official, whether it's neighborhood board, and the language of that email, I would be concerned, and I don't want to engage you on the air and getting you committed to something, but here's another opportunity to offer a little insight. If you, in that letter, you fired both of them, contrary to what is being said, what measures or what process did you use to de-fire her and then did not afford Eric the same opportunity? Did you have a board? Did you have a reconsideration of the facts? Did you? And if that's the case, there's a disparity in the way in which you handle her case. Did you afford Ryan an opportunity to present his argument? So, again, but you don't have to comment, and I don't want to be disrespectful. And when you represent that it was a private email, your government, you left an email, if Mr. Ryan was willing to pray, I think what of all of this could have been avoided, all of it, I believe, if people would have dealt with Representative Pine, Kimberly Pine, the right way, held her feet to the fire rather than circling wagons. I think this is a lesson for politicians, voters, and everyone to say when you have someone that is acting up, deal with them. Don't try and conceal it because there are people out there like Carol Cox that look to see the whole story. And don't wait to talk and tell it because he might get a sponsor or something. So I would caution you there. Yes, it is private, but your expectation of privacy diminishes when you leave it on a public phone, number one. And I don't want to be disrespectful, but if you have any other comments, and we have another caller, I don't know what they want to engage in, but I don't want to be disrespectful, and I will offer you the same opportunity. And I know how frustrating it is. I'm never going to disrespect you. I have admiration. I see the Carol Coxes in you when you work. It's just that it's a system that you got into, and it's a corrupt system, and it's frustrating. I share your thoughts and your concerns, but I think maybe the two of you are just like LaQuesta. Maybe you can reconsider or whatever. I'm not going to be the matchmaker of a sort. But anyway, go ahead if you have any other questions, and you're welcome to come in and join us anytime. I'm not going to say any offensive things to you.
If I can just then close with, I didn't want to call about personnel regarding Ryan and Celeste and how I tried to protect the office and how the termination process went. That'll come up in litigation,
right?
Because I will just add so that people kind of for fodder get an idea on the other side of the coin, because I've been very silent on this.
Right.
When an individual may have a medical condition, and I'm not going to name a name, and I'm not going to name a condition, and I'm not going to say anything, but when someone works 14-hour days plus for me, 7 days a week, and has to carry someone else's load because they're AWOL and absentee, and this person is putting in extremely long hours, everyone else on my staff and that I've talked to have noticed that somebody had some kind of a syndrome, and it could be a medical syndrome, and the person sought medical help. And I don't decide to put out in the public arena someone's medical privacy issue. So when Mr. Ryan had purported Whistleblower Protection Act that he has fraud, waste, and abuse on an employee who he claims has been sleeping on the job is A, false. B, it's going to probably flip-flop here because when again, in litigation, when this all comes out, I just want to say less is best right now, but for all your listeners, there really is the other side of the coin that hasn't been brought forward at this time. So all the exclamations of Mr. Ryan of sexual harassment on the job by the other two ladies that work there or whatever else that has to do with someone's own personal private medical condition.
Hold on, Councilman Berg.
So I just want to let you know that there is another side of the story.
Hold on 1 second, Councilman Berg.
Yeah.
We're going to go to the next hour. Please, if you'd like to come in. But I want to something that you might want to hear. I have a recording here that I wanted you to hear, where those people that you're speaking about are calling Eric and asking him to come.
So if you get this message, give me a call, okay? All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. Eric, good
morning. I apologize for the difficulties. Hold on just one second. Anyway, Councilman Berg.
It's a lot.
I'm still here.
Okay.
Hey, Eric, it's Gemma. Was wondering if you'll be in the office today. Hey, maybe if you come in today, we could talk about a strategy to try and get you back here. Not sure, you know, where things stand. However, you know, we need to try and save this as much as we can. So if you can come over to the office, we could all talk about it. Anyway, just kind of concern about the whole issue. So if you get this message, give me a call, okay? All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. Eric, good morning. It's Gemma. I came in this morning, and I saw that email from Tom, and I'm just totally shocked. Anyhow, trying to understand what's going on. However, was wondering if everything is okay. Can you give me a call when you get this message? Just concerned about the whole email thing. I hope seems like Tom was drinking last night. Anyhow, hopefully he didn't mean that and that he'll reconsider. Anyway, hope you get this message. Call me. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hey, Eric. I've been in meetings a lot long.
Anyway, Councilman Berg, feel free to go ahead and talk. But now this would be one of those females that you spoke about that he was sexually harassing. But isn't it kind of strange that she would be calling and soliciting Eric to come back to work because she's astounded and shocked that you have fired him? I mean, you would think she would be celebrating. Or am I reading too much into that?
Yes, you're reading too much into that. That is not an accurate portrayal. I didn't let the whole staff. I had to take, like I said, protective measures to get website information, data, and other sources to protect District 1's personal, private, privileged information that has to do with the district. And so there were certain twists and avenues that were taken, which again, in litigation, when all the wash comes out. But at this time, on face value, I really called to just say my comments on Rep. Pine, Rep. Ward, the GOP, Dylan, the guys running it, was my frustrations that I couldn't get any backing on the GET surcharge for rail, the 10% cut. And I'm fighting not to get me in the news, as Eric is saying, but rather I'm fighting for the taxpayers' money. And it's just unfortunate that Eric continues to misrepresent as your last play of a secretary.
Okay.
This secretary was concerned because she didn't know, wasn't informed about it, the email sent at 12:05 at night. She didn't know that I, as the so-called council person, had to do what I can to protect documents and information. And this was part of that. And again, it'll come out later.
All righty. Well, you're welcome to call back in the next hour because, again, that's not what the facts show. And, again, this is the same person, Councilman Berg, that invited a newspaper to come in and photograph you signing. So when you say these things, but I would caution you, and I'm not going to give you legal advice, and I didn't want to engage you in talking to the little, because ultimately, I'm sitting across here, and Eric is smiling, and we, the taxpayer, is going to end up, if he's successful in suing, paying him, and I don't want to fatten his pocket, but please call back if you want in the next hour, and we'll be right back.
Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Don't want to be disrespectful.
But thank you for the call.
All right, bye-bye. All righty. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, the second half. Again, 524-1080. And I apologize to the callers. Feel free to call back again. I know it's an inconvenience, but I didn't want to shut Councilman Berg off or anyone else. So, again, feel free to call 524-1080. You can also catch us at podcast at carol@carolcox.com. And you can send me an email, and we'll try and respond again. Those of you that call, try and make it short so others can have. Again, I do apologize for not being able to answer, but I want to be fair and give Councilman Byrd his opportunity. And again, I take this position. It should have been a matter of two people battling it out. And everyone else should have given their wishes or good blessings or whatever, and when asked questions, just said it. But again, it's, the evidence doesn't match up with what's happening. So, Eric, you said you wanted to address something about the phone calls or the recordings and what happened.
Yeah, thank you very much. You know, when you're basically being crucified and your integrity is being attacked and you're financially under assault by these people, particularly newly elected Councilman Byrd, you know, really speaking up is about the only way you can fight back against the machinery that they have at their disposal against you. Now, he's only been in office for, you know, 6, going on 7 months. And, you know, certainly most of us, when we think of politicians, we think of people who've been in there for years and years, decades and decades, and they have problems telling the truth. You know, how often do they ever admit straight up to messing up? How often do they admit straight up to lying or a cover-up? They typically don't. But we have an example here of someone, the fellow who just called, my former boss up until 2 weeks ago, who I helped get elected and then helped run his office and then suddenly found myself down on the street, who can't even bring himself to just say straight up, I fired that woman, Celeste LaCuesta, and I fired her, Tom Byrd did, because she didn't do what I wanted, even though it's her private life, sitting on neighborhood board 7 for me. And, you know, and the fact that he's unable to just come straight out and say, I admit, I fired her, is mind-boggling.
Now, you have an email there, but I don't want you...
Please.
There's vulgarity or some cursing in there.
I'll try and bleep out...
No, no, you will bleep it out.
Oh, I will. I'm sorry.
Not
that's
try.
Better than try.
The FAA
doesn't
buy that. I tried.
Right. Well, to set this up...
The FCC, I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, that'll be just one more government agency
that
coming.
Real quickly. Like.
Thank you. This was Thursday, July 14th, just a couple of weeks ago. And
a day before your firing.
Day before I'm fired, actually minutes
right.
before.
Okay.
Tom had just come from a neighborhood board meeting at the beach, extremely upset because his employee on that board was not doing his bidding. So he writes to her and all of us on the staff at our home and our government email addresses. The subject is for the email, Celeste is being let go. And he writes, Celeste, your last day is Friday. You're no longer on the team after this Friday. Tomorrow, July 15th. Thank you for your service, but you're no longer needed, and you're being released from your duties. Thanks for your involvement. But I need a team willing to speak up at board meetings and fight for the district. Your behavior tonight to condone and say nothing to defend the Leeward Bikeway is reason for your dismissal. FYI, hope you understand and grasp the importance of hearing a sparrow state that the Leeward Bikeway is an administration issue when it's not. A sparrow is the problem. It was your issue as a board to defend the bikeway, and you all failed us. I stood strong, and I voted up to speak up for the Leeward Bikeway, but my own staff at the time needed failed us and refused to speak up. I need team players that will speak up for the bikeway and fight for it. No ill will, Celeste, between us, but I cannot continue having staff support delaying the bikeway and must find staff that supports my agenda to fight for the bikeway and to say something to that effect. I really disappointed in your lack of conduct to fight with me to challenge and call out Espero, State Senator Willie Espero, for being the problem. You let me down big time. Mahalo, Tom. And then 15 minutes later or so, he writes, and this comes out of the blue, subject, staff termination. So he's up at 5 minutes after midnight writing to all of us from his personal email to all of our personal emails and work emails. Subject, staff termination. Eric and Celeste, I'm letting Celeste go from being on her staff team. Her last day is Friday, July 15th. Well, that just started 5 minutes earlier. Eric, your last day is also July 15th, Friday, which some people might say today. You were being terminated for taking pictures of a coworker, Phil, in secret fashion and making ill-will comments about my team. I want to thank you both for your service. Please remove all your personal belongings from the city desk and return all keys and other city belongings Friday, June 15th, or July 15th, by the end of closing business day. Mahalo, Tom Byrd. Anyway, these are the emails that he denies meant that she was fired. These are the emails that he denies involves a cover-up of him breaking the law and expecting his staff to break the law by serving in a conflict of interest. This is so moofy. Maybe this is why Keith Rollman stepped in on this situation, because this is so moofy. To intimidate your paid staff that they, in their personal lives, on their personal time, and in their personal responsibilities, like running for neighborhood board, should forget about their own consciences, forget about representing their own neighbors, and just do what their boss at City Hall tells them. And that is exactly what happened here. Mm-hmm. And I've got to say that the city's top attorney, Mr. Godby, who's being confirmed, I believe, this week, the same Mr. Godby who's advised Tom Berg and my former employee, Philman DeLee, the one who sleeps at his desk and runs around with a shirt on and yells at people all the time and so many other things. Anyway, he's going to have a really, really difficult time defending this guy if it comes to that. My hope is he can talk some sense into this guy as much as he diverts from the truth. In only 6 months in office, he says it's green when it's really blue.
Right. Well, one thing I'd caution you is that even though I look at it and I think personally you've been wrong, and it's a shame what goes on in government.
Yeah.
This is our taxpayers' money and time.
Right.
And here's what bothers me. If you've seen tricks before,
yes.
This is government,
yeah.
And this is a group of people who at all costs, they'll keep a badger in.
Yeah.
At the expense of the taxpayer.
Sure.
They protect one another.
Right.
So I don't want you to be disillusioned or get your hopes up too high. You are still dealing with a group of people.
Yes.
That is, it puts the word mob to shame.
Yeah.
It doesn't even rise to that level anymore.
Sure.
And I'm not telling you don't pursue it. The microphones are here. As long as the power is on, you can come back and,
right.
Because I want the public to see. So don't get too sure,
yes.
That they're going to take it. And let's get this caller and see.
Thank
what
you.
Good morning, caller. Comment or question?
Comment?
Yes.
About Mr. Berg, you know, I just heard last week and this week, but I've been watching this guy, you know, through the newspaper and some of his interviews and stuff about the rail and this and that. And I couldn't pin him down, you know, not being independent. I don't know what he was, you know. But him just talking about, you know, a couple minutes ago, right? What he was saying seemed way different than the other gentleman on the air is saying, right? There's two different conflicting stories there.
Okay.
At least the way they were presented.
Uh-huh.
And my thing is, this gentleman, if he does have a grievance against Mr. Bird, let it come out. But it seems like, you know, there's a lot of incriminating evidence against Mr. Berg, you know, just by his own admission, you know what I mean, and words. And I was a member of a neighborhood board, and I would never have anybody come from the outside telling me what to do, you know. So I know exactly how this lady, Miss, you know, whatever her name was, feels intimidated, and you do too, because you're being fired. But this seems like going to be a lawyer thing now. I'm just in it for the rail, you know. If we can stop that thing and, you know, switch that around, if that can, you know, connect up with Mr. Berg, because he does have a vote. And that's why I'm really interested in what he is doing, because he can be part of the solution to stop the rail.
Right.
So, you know, he's not my enemy, he's not my friend. I just hope that he does his job.
Right.
Yeah, you know, and that's what you're doing, Mr. Carroll. You know, hope that he does his job. I see you haven't made a decision on what, but, you know, there's incriminating evidence, wouldn't you say?
Well, I'm just putting it out there and let my listeners drink their coffee and decide on their own, because I, you know, we've got enough people expressing their personal opinions.
Yeah, the facts come in his own words. Like I said, I wouldn't say anything. I would just be shut up. But just, I heard his own words, what he was talking and saying.
Right.
Hey, this stuff there, now. And then he tried to flip it back on that these guys had a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then it really comes to, like, that one email and say, oh, he must have been drinking last night, the lady said, right?
Yeah.
So, hey, wait a minute. We don't know all the facts of Mr. Berg. You know what I mean? So let's just hope that, you know, he can do his job, you know, stop the rail, Okay?
All righty.
Thank you.
And that's my opinion, all right?
Thank you so much.
Aloha. If I may, Carol, just real quick. The issue of stopping the rail or anything about rail, I have to be honest with all taxpayers, residents of Oahu, no matter what side of the issue you're on, I'm obviously not a huge fan of rail, having been involved in fighting it in two separate campaigns, but City Hall... even if Tom Berg decided to wake up tomorrow and come out against the rail, you know, forcefully or otherwise, it's going to be an 8-1 vote pro rail every time, or maybe a 7-2 vote. The city council, and especially with this mayor who's really become the new MUFI, I mean, all his people practically are all holdovers from the MUFI administration. His positions are the same on virtually everything. The politicians are not going to do anything about rail just to derail it, so to speak. It's going to be either legal action, which is underway, and personally I don't have a lot of faith in them, because you got to remember, at the end of the day, judges are appointed by politicians. Mm-hmm. And this is a big multi-billion-dollar thing that's going to bring a lot of money to connected people. The other thing is voter power. You can try and get it on the ballot again. You need 30,000 signatures to get it on the ballot again next November. 30,000 good ones that can be verified by the city clerk. So if that's what you want to do, but don't allow yourself to be fooled into thinking that the 9 people on the city council or the mayor are going to do anything to stop rail. These people are mostly there to keep it going. They were pre-screened before they ever ran for office and got support of all the different interest groups. Tom Berg, yeah, I don't mean this in the nasty sound way it's going to sound, was a fluke in the sense that there was a special election. Todd Apo, the city council chairman, suddenly decided to take a job with Disney, which opened up West Oahu's seat on the city council. All of a sudden, there's a special election. The Republican Party got behind a guy named Bob McDermott, who has gone back and forth between being a Republican and a Democrat. A lot of different unions got behind Jason Sparrow, fresh out of college, son of Willie Sparrow, who's never really held a serious job. But they got behind him because they hoped to use his name ID. And then other Democrats got behind a woman named Rose Cabanilla, who was like Tom, and even Philman Lee used to work for State Representative Rita Cabanilla. So there were so many splits on the Democrat coalition, even in the Republican coalition. Tom was able to get in with just enough votes, and that's why I say it's a fluke. I don't mean that in a disparaging way. They will decimate him probably in the next election, and then you'll be back to probably 9-0 in favor of rail, or at least 8-1, depending on where Ann Kobayashi is on any given day. And Romy Cacciola is another sort of a wild card, but he's more mad that they moved the route away from Salt Lake and over to the airport, and that's his one obsession.
That's his only problem.
That's his obsession, yeah. Otherwise, he's right down the line with the Democrats on the council. So, it's very easy to get lulled into believing that this one politician or that one politician is going to save us all from terrible things like rail and high taxes or whatever, but they're just one person. If you don't get a majority of them elected, then you're just donating and helping someone that isn't really going to be able to change the calculus at the end of the day.
Good morning, caller. Comment or question?
Good morning. Aloha to you both.
Good morning.
This is Andy from Hawaii Kai.
Hey, alrighty.
Hi. Well, I have to disagree with what you're saying about it being a fluke. I know you said not disparagingly.
No, I didn't.
But Tom Berg did work hard. He sine waved. He did what was necessary to get his positions out there. And
I know.
Voters did vote for him.
Yeah, I ran the campaign, so I remember. Sure.
Exactly.
But we got lucky. It was the right combination of hard work and luck that got it. But I can tell you, as of the day that I was fired, there was not a penny in the bank account for re-elect Tom Berg, and there was not a volunteer in the volunteer bank. It was a virtually zero budget effort last year to get him elected with virtually no volunteers, and there's been no growth there. Meanwhile, everybody that wants to take his place is way ahead of him in fundraising, way ahead of him building volunteer organization, and will already have the same name ID that he has. So just, you know, as someone who understands the science of this, or at least tells myself I do understand the craft and the science of this, he will probably go down in flames simply because he doesn't have the resources, and certainly I don't want to overstate my own capabilities, but without me in there trying to keep him from making so many mistakes, and not continuing to ignore the need to organize for his reelection, you're not going to get that same ability to have luck next time around in 2012. There's going to be big money, big names, I believe his website that I created for him, councilmanberg.com, is going to be nothing more than a history book of what was Councilman Berg after 2012. And again, I don't say that to be negative. I'm just saying, understood the reality going in. You know, I probably had about a year and a half, 2 years to try and do a lot of good. Unfortunately, it's been bogged down in corruption and scandal and self.
I think he has done a lot of good. And listening to yourself, you said that you people probably won't have the ability to have luck. You know, luck is not a quantifiable thing. And a lot of candidates have won against all odds, and name recognition and money. And so I think that's a little too premature to, I mean, maybe the odds are, you know, you're right, but stranger things have happened. You know, there's also a phrase that I've learned in politics over all these years, the propitiousness of the times. You never know what's going to be happening at the time of election, what scandals, what circumstances, what the economy is going to be. So anything can happen in politics, as they say. They say a few weeks in politics is an eternity. Many things can change. But I didn't really agree with your characterization of Romy Cocciola, saying that all his obsession is that he's just mad, that the route, it's much more serious than that. When we were going into the election voting booth, meaning all the people in Salt Lake and surrounding areas were going in the voting booth about the steal on steal, the politicians told us it was going to go through Salt Lake. So can you imagine how many hundreds, thousands of votes that said yes for rail that would have said no if it had not been going through their community? And then literally a month or two after we all voted, the politicians changed the route on us. And it's not just on Romy Cocciola, it's on every person who lives in that area.
Andy,
yes.
Let me ask you a favor. When you call up, you're welcome to call anytime. Not just a long soliloquy of, take a breather, because we might want to speak a specific point that you're making. So you take your time. We got 30 more minutes, so don't worry. This is, you're going to have all the time, but let me ask you one question.
Sure.
What are you, your knowledge, what are you drawing from, and who are you? And because when you state that Romy Cocciola, I'd like to know, what are you drawing from real quickly? And don't tell me about your life history, but you defend it, and you defend it, and you defend it. And what I would like to offer you is that most of the people, I don't know if you're Republican, Democrat, or whatever, but here's the problem with this big picture, is that everybody's trying to argue the final point, but here the reality is that you have a handful of Republicans sitting on the other side of the aisle, and it appears to be diminishing. I would like to see some other check and balance built. And you guys are winning the argument. I hear you all the time. You're very astute. You're smart. You have every answer for it all. But the numbers are dwindling. And then so you are right. Everything you said, I'll sit here and just out of fun agree with you. You still have, I didn't say I do agree with that, just for fun. But I'm saying to you,
I'm having fun. You guys, you agree with me, that's mahalo.
You guys are winning the argument, and you're putting in, and the purpose of bringing this out is that it started from a little argument. Someone said, he's hacking me and threatening me. And now here's Eric Ryan on radio talking all of these things and being fired and call the newspaper and let them take a picture of him, me signing the firing, and he's this and that. I think it was a fluke. Unfortunately, I would like to see, I think Tom Berg can be polished. I'm not sitting here propping him up or supporting him. But if you've seen a politician, they all can use some work. And I guarantee you, if there was a person with guts in the Democratic Party, a Democrat, that would be willing to come on and talk, we'd be entertained equally. So go ahead and say what you want to say, but who are you, what are you, and where are you from to have all this information to
draw? Okay, well, I was born and raised in Hawaii. Okay. My family members have all moved away from Hawaii because of the high cost of living.
Uh-huh.
They all have better, you know, higher standard of living because they moved away.
Right.
I'm the one who stayed in Hawaii, and I vowed that I would help change this corrupt system in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a place I love, and I think that the people of Hawaii are getting shortchanged and shafted by the politics of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm motivated. I'm a small business person. I am active in politics. I'm a Republican.
Right on.
I've even supported Democrats like Ann Kobayashi when she did the Panos plan, a version of the Panos plan. I see the news media in our town only the day that she had a press conference, the day she announced her plan. That was the only day that the newspapers printed anything about her plan. From that day forward till now, they haven't written one article about the Panos / Ann Kobayashi elevated rubber tire fixed guideway plan. Not one article. It's so out of balance, it's just insane. So that's what motivates me to bring fairness and dignity to the process by calling radio talk shows like yours and explaining the other side.
But I would give a little advice if I could, and it's free. And that is that when you catch someone on the inside of on your team that's not carrying their weight or distracting from the real true purpose of the party or whatever, call them out. Don't come and attack me, for example, about me having someone on a radio show. Call and make contributions or something, you know. But
I, sir, have never attacked you.
That's not to infer. No, don't insert
yourself. In fact, I praise you.
Now, I'm
praising you now again.
I'm not saying I'm taking away your pacifier. This is not about you, and I'm not attacking you. I'm just sharing with you in general terms. What people need to do. I don't hear anyone talking about, look, you say it's a fluke. I've reported that Kim Pine has a schedule, a party at Oceans 808, and talking about becoming a city councilman, a woman, a person, right? No one's talking about that. Oh, they want to tell how Eric is this, and I would be appalled if I had learned that. I would call her on the carpet and say, you need to let us know publicly. Because what that does, it detracts from the party's goals and what have you. But instead, we're sitting here talking about Tom Berg. And so everybody's winning the argument. They're putting Eric in his place. And then I look and see, I can tell you, you may not agree it's a fluke, but he has a snowball chance of surviving in hell as the next legislator because...
Well, one of my friends who I talk politics with all the time says, oh, we're doomed and the odds are so far against us. I always tell him, I never, ever give up.
Well,
Winston Churchill,
yeah.
Truth is truth, right is right, and whether the whole society, the politicians that are in power are corrupt,
right,
and get money from their campaign contributors to
right,
keep this system going, I still say we never give up.
50 years of Democratic rule is not, somebody's not facing reality, and a dwindling number of Republicans is not being realistic. So
well, guess what? The Republicans were in charge for 50 years when the Democrats took over.
Yeah, I understand, but it is not healthy for anybody, anywhere, anytime. That's my
point. Well, I will never give up. Mahalo and aloha, and I praise you for having Eric Ryan on and having these topics on. I've done it before, and I will again. Aloha.
Anytime, feel free.
Thank you, man.
Anyway, I don't think people are understanding what I'm saying, because I know on the other side of the aisle, horrible. I can call in right now to a state office,
right,
and I might, they might hang up. And the general public is experiencing the same thing. Poor governmental response. You drive the roads.
Yes.
It's unfortunate that this is where we get looped into this, I need to protect her. The reality is everyone, when there's a bad player or questionable, call them on the carpet and air it out and be done.
Absolutely.
Good morning, caller. Comment or question?
Good morning, Carol. Hi, Ryan. Good morning.
I attended a workshop for the city on the rail last year, and Senator Noy was there. This was a workshop for ADA compliance for the rail.
Yes.
And it was at the Blaisdell, and Senator Noy came up and he made his speech about the rail, how it's going to be beneficial and whatnot. He mentioned that, you know, that money that they have was not guaranteed in Washington, D.C.,
right.
And they should react. With this debt thing going on right now with the federal government, would you say that rail money will be diversified to, so, you know, won't be given to us at all?
Thank you. That's a dynamite question. Basically, there's three sources of funding for the building of this rail project. Forget about the operations. That's in property taxes and the tiny amount that people pay in fares. But there's three sources. The largest is the increased sales tax that, of course, not only is a higher tax, but increases the cost of every good and service you buy because of
right.
price inflation. Then there's the other main one, of course, is the federal funding that's been promised since probably before either of us were born for rail. And the reason it hasn't really materialized is what they don't tell you. They can have groundbreaking ceremonies, they can say this is for sure, but the reality is D.C., Washington, D.C., has not signed off on this project.
Right.
And even if they did it tomorrow, though they're not scheduled to really give any final review for a year or close to a year, they're not going to suddenly cut a check for $1.55 billion. They're not going to suddenly hand it all over at one time. And that's the way government and even business works. You get it in increments. And as economy changes and as circumstances changes, those increments that you've been promised on day one might change in the out years. And you might, and this happens all the time with rail projects, where first couple of years you get what you're expecting. Next thing you know, you're on your own, and
right.
you're going to have to raise local taxes higher, raise fares. You're going to have to maybe raise property taxes for businesses that are close to the rail, and that's why you see a lot of these transit-oriented developments on the mainland with vacancies
right.
in the development zone. So, a short answer is when Senator Inouye says it's not guaranteed, he's really understating the situation. We're being strung along.
Right.
The price tag of this thing was supposed to be $3.7 billion, and that's exactly how much the GET is supposed to bring in.
Right.
Why do we need an extra $1 or $1.55 billion? Well, if you look at the city's budget for rail, they call it contingencies
mm-hmm.
of cost overruns.
Right.
There's never been a rail project that came in under budget.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't happen. So they really are going to need more money. Can they get the legislature, perhaps, to string out the GET increase so it doesn't sunset in 10 years or whatever
right.
and keep going forever? That's a more likely outcome than the federal funding, actually.
Yeah, so it'd be a while before this thing will kick off then.
Yeah, but again, just one thing I'd caution everybody, you sound like a very smart guy who probably knows this, so I'm really speaking to everyone else. The rail project isn't about transportation. It isn't about moving people. It isn't about reducing traffic. It's a jobs program and a development program. So it doesn't matter if it ever gets finished. It doesn't even matter if it gets to the halfway point. A lot of people are going to make a lot of money
right.
off this, and they already have
right.
for years now. When you think the average person in Hawaii, if they're paying a mortgage, let's say it's $2,000. If someone came to you and said, I can make sure your mortgage is paid for 10 years, you'd be that person's best friend.
Right.
It doesn't cost a lot of money to buy people off, to buy their support, to buy their loyalty. 1% at the most of the people on Oahu are going to see money from this project. Then 99% of the rest of us that have been duped into forking over money to these people,
right.
we're doing so without any improvement in traffic, it's going to get worse. And our lives are going to be more expensive and more difficult in so many ways. I'm sorry, I can go on and on about this, but it's such a scam.
Yeah.
The more you know, the less you want to wake up each morning.
It's like that bridge in Alaska, the bridge to nowhere.
Yeah. Thank you, caller.
Okay.
Good example.
Thank you. But this rail has presented with some big problems.
Yeah.
And a lot of questions go unanswered, but everyone seemed to be placing their key people in place.
Yes, they are. They're chess pieces. And what Andy said a moment ago about never giving up,
mm-hmm.
And his related point about how Ann Kobayashi, Panos Prevedoros, when he dropped out and supported her, and they presented this plan back in 2008 for what we should be doing. Because mm-hmm. the point was, and if you ask people in the polls, you'll see it for years, they think traffic solution is what they're looking for, reduction in traffic congestion. They're looking for that. And that's the Panos and Kobashi plan. It's not particularly unique, but it's great. It's what I agree mm-hmm. with. The reason why you don't hear it get reported, the reason why you don't hear anybody really talking about it, is because in the mind of the media and their friends, the politicians, that debate's been won and lost already. It's over. This is what we're doing. Now, again, I said they haven't even started construction yet. Federal funding's not even in it. We're still in this limbo state where nothing is happening. It's a holding pattern. Mm-hmm. So really, to say that we don't have time to think about any other options is ridiculous.
Right.
But, I worked very close with Kim Pine, for instance. She was one of the people that voted no on the tax increase in 2005. She was pretty new to the legislature. I guess trying to be true to Republican principles, voted no. But after 2008's vote, you know, she and I were working very close together. She made it very clear to me that in her mind, she's relieved. The people have now spoken on this. She doesn't have to be at war with the unions anymore and the pro-rail interests who wouldn't donate to her, who worked against her before. Now she can throw in with them because it's a relief not to have to fight City Hall or fight all the big pro-rail mafia. You can say, well, the people have spoken. I'm relieved of the responsibility of having to speak to truth and truth to power. I'm all for it. And that's what I believe is ultimately behind why they are probably gathering their forces behind her to run against Tom for city council. Because you can never have enough votes on that city council to make sure that your multi-billion dollar project stays intact.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Berg's a bit too much of a wild card on that. They're not sure where he stands, but he's not solidly with the pro-rail mafia, so that's enough reason to be suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so much money at stake. And all of that money can pay a lot of people's mortgages who are associated with this, and some are going to get much richer than that.
Mm-hmm.
Engineers, consultants, big vendors. But again, that's just a tiny fraction of the number of people on Oahu. Most of us have been suckered into paying to 1% that are going to get rich from this, and only, this is another 1% figure, only 1% of the people that now drive on H1 is the city expecting to get out of their cars to be part of the bus and the rail system, public transportation, you know, 15, 20 years from now. They know that the number of homes they're approving to be built out in West Oahu, all the developments going on out there, plus the existing horrible traffic now, that traffic's going to be 60% worse by the time this rail thing really gets going, you know, and people are supposedly riding it. That's because it was never designed to solve a traffic problem. It was designed to make money. And one of the adjuncts to that big making money is not just the construction, but 20 rail stations. 20 rail stations between a field out in Kapolei where they think they're going to build UH West Oahu and some other development called Ho'opili, and Aromoana Center. And around each of those 20 stations, you're going to see the kinds of loose zoning and be able to build a high density, high rise kind of stuff that just years ago, a developer would have to palm and grease the palms of so many politicians to get that kind of zoning, just for their one little development or one little building or one little something, just to get that kind of increase in density. They would have to buy off so many people, but this thing's a cash cow.
Well, see, this is a genius.
Pure genius.
Former Mayor Mufi Hanneman, yeah. See, he knew that in order, if his friends, while he was in office and
right.
promised him pies in the sky, being the great leader,
yeah.
He can take care of all of that by installing David Tenoy at the level of Department of Planning and Permitting.
Right.
So, and then bring in inspectors who retired and then bring them back in
oh, yeah.
and hire them. See, he's a genius when it comes to stealing from people as a mayor.
Yes.
I don't know him personally, but every turn and crook and curve of the road, there is a mile marker that says Mufi Hanneman was here.
Yes.
Mayor Mufi Hanneman was here.
That's right.
And I hate to think 20 years from now, and as you know, you go on one of these tours, where was he? Well, he was here, 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 and here, and he, and that's what the game is.
Oh, yeah.
So they don't have to, his friends don't have to worry about permits.
No.
Because they got David Tenoy, all of the, his lower people there.
Right.
All of those, they're standing there with heels clicking, and whatever Hanneman wanted, that's what they got. And they, and then the city, the corporation council is just as guilty and as corrupt, and it's unfortunate the FBI and others don't investigate them, but I guess it's, you know, they appoint, they ask, get the blessings of Senator Noy, and the agents here are not going to step out of the line because they'd be on a plane leaving, shipped out because you don't investigate. But there's a lot of crime within DPP. I mean, they ignore the wishes of the people. They conceal documents and what have you.
Right.
And so, and then it doesn't help with this current mayor, who was a prosecutor. So we don't have to worry. Well, the guys that's going to get the favors don't have to worry because the key people are in place, you know. But it's something that it's going to cost us all. And driving in this morning, the roads, I see how people are going around trying to avoid potholes.
Oh, yes.
And then oncoming traffic on two-lane roads, you know, just waiting. You have that many people passing one another. Inevitably, you're going to have a wheel snatched in the pothole and throw you into the oncoming traffic head-on collision.
Yeah.
And then it happens. There's an investigation. Freeways close down and what have you. So I don't know if people really know. And it's unfortunate that we are stuck here trying to get you and show you how bad you are when the bigger issues. And I appreciate you sharing these things, as Tom Burke said, privacy and what have you. Well, I, you know, if you behave in this fashion, and if you're willing to call the newspapers up and let them take a picture of you firing someone, don't cry. Privacy. Good morning, caller. Comment or question quickly.
Good morning, Carol and Eric. And because of you guys and this show today, now I know we are really doomed.
Sorry to be the bearer of bad tidings.
Well, truth is truth.
Yeah. We can clean government up. It's never over. Remember, we took it from the British, you know, when they had the feet on our neck. But then now they're back here telling us their kids are marrying and whatever. But we'll get over all of that. And it's never over. This is America, you know, and I can tell you, that's the joy of it. I mean, we're going to get ulcers while fighting and being Americans, but we'll rise above it all.
Yeah, a good friend of mine always mentions to me, don't give up. Thank you, gentlemen.
All righty. No, there's no, Americans don't give up.
There is definitely a path to reform and to the accountability and everything that we want, and more important than even accountability, just actual better solutions that really work, so that we don't have to wake up every day realizing our education system is horrible, that our roads are horrible, and everything, and that we're being ripped off left and right. And, you know, people that work in government get paid every 2 weeks no matter what, even if they do a lousy job, and we know government's letting us down, they get paid anyway.
Let me ask you a question, and this is off subject but irrelevant. Why is it that everyone's claiming and complaining that the media isn't covering this, and the media, where did that come from, and why don't they clean their own houses?
Yes.
And they're, well, passing the buck in a sense. They won't call in this situation here.
Right.
I would think the GOP would have called together, convened a meeting, and said, folks, it's closet cleaning time. We're going to clean out some dirt here.
Sure.
But instead, I've heard some of them says, well, the media won't. Tired of hearing that.
Yeah.
Do your job. Police yourself and hold people accountable. Don't rely on the media that you despise.
The world would be a dramatically different place today if everyone did, say, a few hours of volunteer work a week and a few hours of civic action a week. I mean, really took their role as a citizen seriously. The world would be an amazingly different place, because right now, with people participating at such low levels, voting is atrocious. But what's even worse is what happens in between elections. In between elections, you've got 2 years of mostly silence from the public. They don't write their congressmen, they don't call their councilmen, they don't write a letter to the editor. Most people just don't do that. As a result, that makes it extremely easy for well-organized special interest groups to overwhelm just enough politicians with calls, faxes, emails, maybe even spend a few bucks on some radio and TV ads saying, tell that person to vote my way, and we need the rail, or whatever, you know, whatever the issue is. And we've got to do it for the cakey, you know, and therefore we need to raise everyone's taxes for the cakey, you know, when in the schools, barely any of the money makes it to the schools, and most because of the gigantic bureaucracy of people that show up to work every day and get
right
paid
to the
no matter what.
Now, that also goes to the bus company.
Well, thank you, yes. Yeah. And what could be wrong with that? But it's for the cakey. So the what's worse than people not voting, and that is horrible, is the silence in the intervening 2 years when all of this naughty business goes on, when all of the deals get struck, when all the horrible things that screw the average citizen every single day by making their taxes higher, their prices higher, the return on investment for those taxes so terrible, special deals that screw everybody, and you know, when you wake up one morning and find out, what do you mean our stadium's rusting? Who picked that? Well, you were asleep at the switch as a citizen when they were making those deals. And you're asleep at the switch. I'm sorry, Mr. and Mrs. Citizen, but it's got to be told. You guys are spending a little bit too much time watching what you've recorded on your DVR. You spend a little too much time staring at your phone, wondering what app you should download, and your music. I do those things, too. But everybody needs to take a lot more time. Start by just a few minutes a day. Work your way to a few hours a week, then maybe a few more hours a month. Holding these people accountable. Learning. And then, I mean, if the democracy is going to work, as it should, representative government, if it's going to survive, if we're going to turn things around, if caller Andy, if we want to help him keep hope alive and never give up, it ain't going to happen if you keep sitting on the couch. And it's not going to happen if you also take for granted charges and countercharges between political people and assume it's just a soap opera that doesn't affect your life. It affects your life.
Now a little humor, but a tea bagger,
yes.
A tea party member,
sure.
Have a lot in common with Jesse Jackson. Keep hope alive.
Well, there's a difference between hoping that you can fleece the government and corporations to give to your Rainbow Coalition and hoping that government will stop fleecing you. But you're right. The saying is the same.
The only thing, a friend told me, he said, in 20 more years at this pace, everybody, instead of saying good morning, people are going to go, bah. Because they fleeced us. We have nothing left.
No.
We began to treat like sheep, you know.
Very closely shaved sheep.
Yeah, no more good morning, no more, you know. It's bah. How you doing? Bah. It's bad.
Turn that into your theme song.
Yeah.
Sound of sheep.
Well, it's painful. But speaking of tricks and backroom dealings, let's speak real quickly, and we got about 14 more minutes.
Yes.
Protect our cakey. I want to give the listeners an insight. This is Protect Our... What is Protect Our Keiki? Who funded it, and is there anything wrong about it, or what happened?
Thank you. Everyone knows that when some politician named Joe Blow runs for office, he has a campaign committee called, you know, Friends of Joe Blow, or the Joe Blow Kokua. And they go out and they raise money, and they get volunteers, and they try and get Joe Blow elected. And we all know that people have strong feelings, gut feelings, like negative campaigning is so bad, and they don't like it if Joe Blow says bad things about Jane Doe, who's running against him. That doesn't matter if Joe Blow's the incumbent trying to run for re-election, or if Joe Blow's the challenger trying to unseat Jane Doe.
Mm-hmm.
But in Hawaii especially, negative campaigning, though it works, and people like me, and people like, I guess, Rollman and others, help politicians to practice it, because people do deserve to hear true things so they can make decisions. But anyway, because it's so harmful to local politicians to engage in name-calling or bringing up someone's record or bringing up their positions and quoting them and what have you, it's really convenient to have a third party do that, some independent group. So it's not Friends of Joe Blow. It's now something like Save Eva Beach or Protect Our Keiki. And these are real-life examples from last year, things that Tom Berg and Kim Pine funded and organized to help take the burden off themselves, although keeping their association with it a complete secret, keeping their funding of it a complete secret, keeping their developing of it, the writing of it, approving of it, implementing of it a complete secret. It keeps their fingerprints off of saying the hard-hitting things that Save Eva Beach did in its direct mail campaign to voters, its website. Protect Our Keiki did the more social conservative issues. So-and-so supports two guys walking down the aisle, whereas this person supports traditional marriage. Mm-hmm. And other drug legalization versus tough on drugs. So this is a way these independent groups, they're called non-candidate committees on the mainland, they're called PACs, political action committees, where they raise money just like politicians raise mm-hmm. money. They're supposed to be independent of candidates. They're supposed to just have a point of view about either issues or people running, and they get that word out with commercials, direct mail, websites, emails, what have you. And anyway, so this mainland style of politicking is alive and well here in Hawaii. Before getting back to these two examples really quick, Calvin Say is the Speaker of the House. He runs, although through a front man, mm-hmm. A very powerful non-candidate committee called Citizens for a Responsive Government, mm-hmm. which sounds pretty, doesn't it? It sounds like something that's good for all of us. But what it is basically allowing all the same people that support the majority party and its candidates mm-hmm. to also give to this group, which goes out and sends nasty attack mail, direct mail, against the opponents of Calvin Say's buddies.
Right.
So Calvin Say and those who support him as Speaker get the protection from this group by raising money separate from the candidates so they don't have their fingerprints on it.
Right.
But it's really them sending attack ads and attack flyers and attack mailers against their opponents. Now, it's worked so well mm-hmm. that working with Tom Berg, working with Kimberly Pine as their main consultant, brainstorming turned into actual action. They green-lighted it as supposedly legal, so I didn't even look into it. And we did it. We, with their money, their insights, their opposition research, which is another mm-hmm. fancy way of saying finding out what the opponent did or right. didn't do or said or didn't say, how they voted. That information was pulled together. The juiciest stuff was put on mailers and in brochures and distributed by mail and by volunteers to as many people throughout Eva Beach as possible. Last year, Tom Berg ran for State House in House District 42, which is the Nauka end, H1 end of Eva Beach, and a little bit of Waipahu. Then the Mackay end of Eva Beach was House District 43, where Kim ran. So we had two neighboring State House districts, which we greatly wanted to influence the defeat of her Democrat opponent, Jason Bradshaw, his Democrat opponent, incumbent, Rita Cavanilla. So they spent money making themselves basically look good through their Friends of Joe Blow campaigns, and then secretly developed and funded these quote independent Protect Our Cake and Save the Beach campaigns. Mm-hmm. So that's the long and short of how it works.
So they actually, I'm looking here, Representative Pine gave $1,000 on 10/19/2010 from Friends of Kimberly Pine.
That's right.
To Protect Our Keiki, and I appreciate you telling us about Calvin Say as well, because
sure.
in you look at the report there, you'll see that there's a gentleman named Ozawa,
right,
who works for the LRB, the legislative right. branch,
right.
Who does a research in preparation right. for the equivalent of corporation council
That's
for
right.
the city. He's involved in that. Then you look and you'll see Ratcliffe and other lobbyists giving money.
Yes.
So Tim Johns,
right.
who's now the chair, one of the chairpeople of the APAC, and pops up everywhere. So
right.
People don't know that when they give money to Carol Cox to run for senator,
yeah.
and it's Friends of Carol Cox,
yes.
I can turn around and give it to a guy who you dislike and would never vote for and use your money to support him, even though you gave it to me to prevent him from in office. And it goes this way across the board, both Republican and in this
Absolutely.
Case, Kimberly Pine, just to give more specific, protectourcakey.com is the website.
It's still up, yeah.
And it's still up. Go there and you'll see, for example, same-sex unions. They report Tito Montez is against it. Willie Espera is unclear. Tom Berg is against it. Rita Cabanilla is in favor of same-sex unions. Kim Pine, against it. Bradshaw, in favor, but I'm not in favor of Bradshaw. He didn't have the courtesy of calling back. So I hope that he finds his way to higher office. He's there at AFL-CIO or whatever. But he's bigger than big, and he doesn't want to call back to engage or answer simple questions. But we'll continue to ask him. Abortions, Tito Montez is against. Willie Espera in favor. Tom Berg against. You know, Cabanilla is in favor and against. So you, the public, don't know that there's no group call, KK. It was Kimberly Pine and Tom Berg.
Yes.
Who put this together.
Yes, right. And she funded that one.
And funded
they, and they both funded the other one for which the website's still up.
SaveTheBeach.com,
right.
And again, I looked at this, but again, that goes across the board. They're on, the Democrats do the same thing.
Yes.
And unless that changed, and maybe there needs to be a law saying that if you take money from Ms. Johnson,
yes,
for your campaign, you can't give it to anyone else, directly or indirectly.
Right.
But, you know, for example, here, euthanasia, and this is the choice of words, and then you had something, and it's they know how to control the conversation, euthanasia / suicide.
Yes.
Tito Montez is against it. Willie Espera is undecided. And Tom Berg is against it. Rita Cabanilla is against it, and Kimberly Pine is against it.
Yes.
But her opponent, Bradshaw.
Yeah.
And so she'd never have to deal with Bradshaw because she's beating him up on Cakey.
Right.
Save our cake, protect our Cakey.
That's
and
right.
Then she's also has another fake organization, Save Ever Beach, doing the same thing.
Exactly.
And, you know, and Tom Berg is there with her.
That's right.
And it's unfortunate because I think that on an individual basis,
yes,
I'd take 10 of Tom than in the rest of them.
Sure.
Because they haven't spoken up. They went out to maim you and cut your legs from under you,
right,
while proclaiming, and, you know, I'll never forgive them for targeting or training their sights on me.
Sure.
Talking about my credibility for having you on as a guest.
Right.
You know, I mean, go call Russ Limbaugh and get on him for the things he said. He's the same party. I mean, if you really want to be. So you lose my trust,
yeah,
and my attention.
Oh, yeah.
I'll call her real quickly, comment or question.
Hi, it's Tom Berg again.
Yes, real quick.
I need to again clarify. I haven't given one penny to Save Eva Beach or our Keiki, whatever the two issues that Ryan is bringing up again. And I'm going to hold him accountable to that. I want all your listeners to know he has just fabricated again on your show, Mr. Carol Cox, and I need to call to defend the fact that not one penny from anything that has to do with my campaign or any efforts went to the two entities that Mr. Ryan had just stated. I'm really kind of offended.
Well, did make that claim, but I just said to you, 10/19/2010, Kimberly Pine gave $1,000 to Friends of Kimberly Pine.
Not Tom Berg.
Wait. You didn't hear me say that. So, but anyway, nonetheless, guess what, Councilman Berg? You got to wake up and smell the coffee. There's a thing called reality here, and I'm going to try and send it your way. Here is the bottom line. While you may not have given any money, you sure depended on this. And if you, all right, let me see a letter where you wrote her saying, I dislike the fact that you're including me in these things. You reap the benefits, but you don't want to be at the scene of the crime. You can't have it both ways. You can't write emails telling people they're fired and then say, and you can't call the media and say, look at this, I'm signing this, and then call up and now I'm pleading. I like you, but don't try and trick my good senses, because I mean, you got to be better than that. I would love to see you stay in, but unless you wake up and smell the coffee and admit to problems, and it's okay. But you're welcome to come on next week, Councilman Berg, and I'll let you, and I'm not going to challenge you again. You got my vote. I mean, as strange as that sounds, you got tenacity. The others don't. So if you can work it, I would love to see I know Tom Berg stood up there and fought, and I can tell you that. But you got to admit, Councilman, you can't get the benefits of a certain action underhanded and then turn around and say you have no knowledge. And if you'd like to, you can come on this show and offer opposition to this effort and declare that you would never witness it or allow it. Is that okay?
That's fine with me.
Please. Okay, then you're on. And I'll bring the coffee.
Okay. Hey,
Thank you. All right. Aloha.
Bye-bye.
But anyway, Eric, thank you. And again, as strange as it sounds, I'm not here to... I'm scared for the taxpayers here because we need libertarians, we need something. Liberals, we need Green Party on the other aisle. We need something. Right now, this train is going at one conductor and he's drunk.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
And all it is, taxpayers. So anyway, thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Aloha.